It is Monday, August 10th, 2020, and this is Ozarks at Large.
It is pretty obvious that nothing's changed here, that they're trying to fire me for political reasons.
We're going to tell you the story behind what you just heard, and to help us tell you the story behind that is Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Yeah, I kind of call this the curious case of Dr. Cooper. I was going through the archives in the early 70s, you know, looking for ideas for this program, and the name Grant Cooper kept coming up about rallies and news conferences and meetings and court hearings. And I had heard his name in the newsroom, but, you know, this is sort of a time capsule thing in that it was a big news story at the time, but it's kind of gotten, it's forgotten now. It was really tough for me to research this because there's really not that much online. So I ended up making a bunch of phone calls to, you know, the people I knew that were involved in this back in the early 70s. He was a University of Arkansas at Little Rock. It was right after LRU had entered the university system. He was an associate professor of history who came from a pretty prominent Little Rock family. His father was a well-known physician and a former member or chairman, actually, of the Little Rock School Board and a big contributor to UALR. But he started in 1970, but the trouble started in 1973. He, in class, openly claimed to be a communist. Mm-hmm. And he was a member of the Progressive Labor Party and announced that he would be teaching history from a Marxist point of view.
Early 1970s Arkansas, that's going to attract some attention.
Yes, and it actually happened from an article in the student newspaper, and it was run by none other than Alan Leverett, who is, you know, now the publisher of Arkansas Times.
Oh, right.
And I talked to him the other day, and he had Dr. Cooper as a professor. And he wrote this little article when at the time he was an obit writer at the Gazette, and his editor saw it and said, rewrite this for the Gazette. And it wound up on the front page of the paper of the Gazette. And boy, did it cause an uproar, you know, people calling for his firing and, you know, veterans groups and, well, it even caught the attention of the state legislature.
So I think that the school should be in the people's interest and workers' interest, and so I should be allowed to teach, yes.
23 state legislators think you shouldn't. What are your feelings about the lawsuit that they have filed?
Well, I think that the state legislators are part of a government that obviously doesn't work for most people. According to government figures, almost half the people in this state live in poverty. Their income is below the poverty line. If the state government is on their side, why is this so? Why don't we have a minimum wage? Why is it that people are so badly off? I can't see that the government is helping these people, that it's in their interest.
Yeah, again, it was a big, big news story at the time, and that's why it kept popping up in the KETV stuff. But I talked to Ernie Dumas, a journalist at the time who covered it a lot, and he was telling me that those 23 state legislators were led by Frank Hensley, and they were calling for his immediate dismissal. And by filing this suit against not only Cooper, but the Board of Trustees, they were putting pressure on them. And the suit contends that the university must remove Dr. Cooper because he's violated state laws against advocating the overthrow of the government. Mm. And so the ACLU gets involved. The university's attorneys sided with Cooper and argued that the laws were unconstitutional. And this is actually recorded in front of the courthouse with Frank Hensley and the other 22 legislators as they're about to go file the suit.
The lawsuit is calling for the dismissal of Dr. Grant Cooper from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock staff, and calling for the state of Arkansas to cease and desist payment of Dr. Cooper's salary because he is in violation of five Arkansas laws, all of which are listed in our lawsuit. We have asked for or in the process of asking for a permanent injunction against him on these grounds. And the reason we're asking for a permanent injunction is because it will take several days for this to get to the court. And in the meantime, we would like to give the board time to act. We don't want anyone to say that we're trying to usurp the rights of the board, because the board has every prerogative of acting in this matter, and it's our hopes that they do act. If they do act, in all probability, we will withdraw the suit, because we just want to see the laws of the state of Arkansas upheld.
People are rolling up their sleeves and getting serious about this.
Oh, it's getting to be a huge deal on both sides, because he did have his supporters. And Steve Barnes, who's now with, you know, Arkansas PBS, Arkansas Week, and was with KATV and was with KRK, covered it a lot. And, you know, he pointed out that it was the argument of freedom of speech versus, I don't know, the American way, I suppose.
Okay.
But the Student Senate at UALR even came out in favor of Dr. Cooper.
We, the members of the Student Senate of the Student Government Association of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, do hereby announce that we support the constitutional right of all professors to teach, without coercion or persuasion, any academic theory, and the constitutional right of all students to study any academic theory. We furthermore support the constitutional right of all professors and all students to accept or reject, without outside pressure or influence, any academic theory.
So there's support, there's legislative threats. Where do we go from here?
Well, the UALR administration decided to non-reappoint him, which is basically not renewing his contract.
Which is basically firing, right?
Yes, eventually,
yeah.
Yes. And they stated or cited poor classroom performance and lack of publications. But he even brought support from faculty members who argued not freedom of speech, but academic freedom. And an assistant or an associate professor of English, who was also president of the American Association of University Professors, was a then professor of history and now author Gene Lyons, who spoke at a news conference in his favor.
I'm up for a tenure decision this year. No one has made any effort at all to evaluate my teaching or what goes on in my classroom, let alone a structured evaluation. There's been no evaluation at all. So one has to wonder, you know, what's going on here? I mean, I don't think you can ever get this out of the political forum, and I don't think you can say that the thing has been conducted in terms so far of academic due process at all.
It's Gene Lyons when he was on the faculty of UALR. Of course, many people familiar with him as an author and used to have a column in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
That's right. Now, this reappointment actually, and, you know, I said it would eventually fire him. It kept him through his contract until May of 75. So that did not sit well and did not calm those legislators who wanted his immediate dismissal. So here's Representative Frank Hensley again addressing the issue.
Not so much, Steve, and I'm afraid of Dr. Cooper as I am of the theory in which this whole thing represents and the precedent that it would set if Dr. Cooper is indeed a communist and is allowed to teach at a state-supported institution. Then we've opened a Pandora's box and a can of worms to anyone else that wants to teach at any other state-supported institution.
that is accomplished.
And in the midst of all of this, there's, of course, politics.
Yes, all the way up to the governor. Governor Bumpers at the time, who, by the way, had an upcoming Senate race against Senator Fulbright. So up in the governor's conference room, he was asked about it, and he even weighed in on the issue.
I can tell you that I had feelings about that case from the very beginning when he said that he taught from a certain viewpoint. I frankly felt that the board would have been entitled to take action to terminate him on that basis.
It's then Governor Dale Bumpers who would go on to defeat Senator Fulbright in the Democratic primary. Bumpers could strike a very pragmatic sort of middle of the ground. That was something that he could do during his career.
Yes, yes. And it was just getting bigger and bigger on campus, in the press. It was even getting national attention in the New York Times. But I talked to Gene Lyons the other day, and he told me about, I don't know if you'd call it a secret meeting, but it was a meeting set up by Chancellor Ross with the faculty. And he basically was very candid and said, we have to fire him. You know, and he said, that's my job to do that. But it's your job to support him if you want to. And I want to let you know that there will be no reprisals against
wow.
you for doing that. And Gene told me, he said, I've never told anybody that because it was, you know, it was a private meeting. And he said, I think I can now because he thinks all the principals that were there, except for him, had passed. So it ended up he was basically fired. And hundreds of students turned out for a rally on campus. They had signed petitions and delivered the signatures to Chancellor Ross, who was there and accepted them and actually spoke to the crowd briefly. But Cooper was there, of course, and he spoke to the crowd.
That's really what we're talking about with communism. That is workers' control, workers' power. And I think that until the people of this school run it, it's not going to be run for us. I think you've seen this go on. And I think that we have to change that. I think we can start changing that here.
Still a little bit more in the story, but I want to ask, Randy, when you pick up the phone and you call Gene Lyons or Ernie Dumas and you tell them what you want to talk about, I mean, something that hasn't happened for nearly 35 or 40 years and isn't widely known by many Arkansans now, how do they react when you tell them the subject that you're working on?
Well, when I brought up his name, they would go, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know. So they enjoy talking about, you know, sort of what they remembered, because this was, you know, an ongoing event that, you know, reporters would kind of be in and out on. And it was like, well, I, you know, remember parts of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about what happened there. And so what I was doing is I was filling in the blanks and reading court documents and whatever material I could find on the internet about it, and then getting what I could from these sound clips. So this has been an interesting one to put together. It's been fun.
Earlier we heard a legislator talking about going to the courts. It then becomes that there's a legislator who says, to heck with the courts, we're just going to do something in the legislature. Tell me about this.
Yeah, Bobby Glover was frustrated to the point. He said, if the courts don't satisfy us, we'll take the matter to the legislature.
I feel the authorities did not go far enough, and if the administrators do not take immediate action and get Cooper out of the classroom so he will not be allowed to teach communism, and use the UALR campus for the advancement of communism, then I will draft and sponsor legislation to remove Cooper.
Wow, so it's really getting heated. You're talking about a legislator wanting his colleagues to remove someone from a faculty. Where do we end up?
Well, in the end, there were several appeals. He won on appeal and was basically awarded back pay through April of 75, which is when, you know, his contract or his appointment ended. And he pretty much went away. He never did teach there again. But, you know, the hardest part was finding how this ended. Because people would go, oh, yeah, I remember this part of it, and I remember this part of it. But I talked to his attorney, Little Rock attorney Phil Kaplan, and this is great. This, as a great attorney could sum it up, he said, well, they fired him. He sued. It went to court. He was successful. They owed him money. Alan Leverett told me he thought he had died some time ago because he of complications from diabetes.
We should point out that you can see some of this material, not just hear it, but see it along with some unedited material by going to the Pryor Center website.
And just go to the KATV section and you could search all through it. Right now we have 50s, 60s, and 70s material, and we're going to start getting the rest probably starting next month or the month after. So over the next year, we'll be populating the 80s on, 26,000 hours.
Exciting. You can just put a Google search for the Pryor Center in there and find the website. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. He's with us most Mondays to go back in time through these archives. Randy, such a blast. Let's keep doing this.
Okay, see you next week.